something, like if you're leading a group, you can feel completely isolated, completely alone, and you can feel the weight of the group's goodness or its dysfunction coming down on you, and you feel the pressure of that. And I don't think that's from God. We are not the savior of our groups, but we are responsible to lead them well. And so we want to be prayerful. And I think a lot of times our best ideas will come from the people sitting around this table and the people that maybe are other leaders that aren't here right now, that you can say, hey, how did you or how would you handle this situation? So let me pray and ask God to lead our time here. And then we'll do sort of if we have time, we'll do sort of a three-part session. This is only 50 minutes long. The other ones have been an hour long. And so we pray. We'll get it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today, and I thank you for these men and women. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you came, you created us. And as we defied you and we rebelled and we chose ourselves over you, you did not cast us away forever, but Lord, you came to seek us, to save us, and to make us your own children. And so, Father, we are here because of your grace. We ask that you would allow us to be part of that movement of your kingdom, that we would love well, we would lead well. And Lord, you tell us not to grow weary in doing good, for in due time we'll reap a harvest. So, Father, we want to sow the seeds of joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and mercy and gentleness. Lord, self-control, we want to be a part of your kingdom in our ministry, in the grow groups that we lead. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Does anyone have a birthday this month? You have a birthday in January. Is he the only one? And you have one.
Well, it passed, but...
That's okay.
Okay.
And you too. Okay, when was your birthday?
The 5th.
Third. 13. I was looking for the closest to today. A gift card is waiting for you downstairs. If you fill out the back and just turn it in, they'll give you a gift card.
Oh, there are lots.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. What we want to do is to go around this room, and again, if it's going to be a round table, we want to touch real quickly. Introduce yourself. Just sort of say, hey, you know, I'm Eric. I'm a teacher in United, which is a Young Married Life Bible study class. And I've been doing that for about 3 years. And I'm in a grow group that's been meeting for about a year and a half. And none of the people are in my class because my class is half of my age. So I wanted to get with men that are my age or older. So I'm the youngest one in it. But most of the guys are around 60. And they've been through what I'm going through right now. And so that's who I am. Paul. Actually, we're going to go this way. I'm surrounded by Pauls.
Oh, okay. My name is Paul Lewis. I'm a grow group leader at Ignite and Summit. I've been a grow group leader for a while now. And our current grow group has been together. This will be our third semester.
And he's a volunteer fan.
And
I value that in him.
Trying to see.
Hi, my name is Jerry Cole. I am a grow leader for Ignite. I'm actually in Paul's grow group for a while now. And, yeah.
What's the worst thing Paul's ever done? No, I'm sorry.
Where do I start?
I'm Christian Hogan. I am the new grow leader for Renewed. I've been helping out for, I guess, 2 weeks now. And I'm not part of a grow group as of currently, or as of now.
Sweet. What's up? I'm Don. I will be a grow group leader in Kaleo. We have not started yet.
Perfect. Hi, Mary. I've led several small groups for high school students, but I'll be a grow group leader for Kaleo, which has not started yet, but excited to lead women my age, or facilitate discussion with women my age.
Awesome.
That'll be a different dynamic for you. That'll be good.
My name is Daniel Rojas. I'm the men's grow leader for Kaleo. And we have not started grow group yet, but we're very excited about it. Everything's been set, and all the information's been sent out, so we're excited to start this new chapter for our class. And, yeah.
Have you been in a grow group before here or some?
Yeah, so I was a grow group leader for Mosaic.
for about a year.
Cool.
Okay. I'm Daniel Fleischman. I am the men's give leader for Kaleo, and I will also be leading a grow group, which has...
I'm Holly, and I will be leading a grow group or facilitating a grow group from the Vine.
I'm Josh, and I'm a grow group leader for 114.
My turn. I'm Kelsey. I'm a former gather leader for 114 and current grow leader. Just transitioned out of gather and now just focusing on grow.
Cool.
I'm Monica, and I am a co-small group leader for 114. And this will be the second time that I've led us.
Yeah, I'm in a small group. Yeah, so I meant not grow leader.
Yeah, not like a big grow, right? Just a small group.
Not the core. Yeah.
I like co-leaders.
I'm Brittany. I am the grow leader. Women's grow leader.
you didn't get three syllables out of four letters.
You're a true southerner.
You're doing something right.
True southerner. For the Vines. And I've been the grow leader for as long as the Vines, like a little over a year, I guess.
And being the grow leader, have you been in a grow group as well?
Yes, I'm currently in one right now.
Cool.
I don't.
And she also leads women in Young Life.
Oh, yeah. I do.
So kind of
the grow group leader there.
Yeah.
I do a lot of growing everywhere. That's why I get three syllables with each thing you do.
Yes.
I won't bug you ever again. Just don't start a fifth or sixth thing, because that would get really rough.
Oh, wow. I'll make sure you'll let me.
Okay.
I'm Lee. I am a small group leader in Awakening, and this will be my second semester leading.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I'm a small group leader for Forge. Just haven't started yet.
My name is Mike, and I am a member of a small group in Petros, and we've been together for about a year and a half, I think. So we're looking to grow and expand on this.
Good. I'm Paul, and I'm Ivan. And I've been a grow group leader for about a year in 114.
So what I want y'all to do is we have a couple of more questions up, and I'd like you to write your answer down, and there's a little space there out beside that if you would write down just briefly, what is going well in your groups? Now, for the Kaleo people and a couple of the other groups that have not started yet, think about the last group you are in, what went well, and then what are the biggest challenges? So for some of you, it would be what were some of the biggest challenges? And then the next question is, what has helped the group connect or bond the best? Especially for groups of people, it's a new class and no one has ever been in a group together before. I'd especially love to hear from y'all if you've ever been in that situation, because it sounds like we've got five people in here at least that are walking into that exact situation, so they would probably learn from that. And then lastly, you know, what studies would you recommend to others that have allowed for good dialogue, good connection, and in stage of life, other than Sherry and I, you're all in a very similar stage of life, so probably anything that's fit and worked for y'all would be very transferable, and men, if it's been a men's grow group, then share that out, and women the same, because I think we can learn a lot from each other there. And I'll add one other area, and that is, have you done some service together, whether it's a habitat build, or like a men's serve, or a Houston project? Like, have you done some serving together in a grow group, and what type of projects have really been great for y'all to connect at and to serve at? So if y'all would write those down.
You can actually.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've got like 8,000 because I believe in destroying forestries. Keep the logging industry alive in Washington State, not D.C., by the way.
No, teachers do not.
Oh, that's...
You're way so
one, two,
y'all
three.
You're way so and you're smiling as you say it. And you teach ecology, right? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm an idiot.
Already sort of written down your answers to those questions, just stick your hand up so I just wanted to see. Okay, I just wanted to keep a tab. Let's take another couple of minutes if you need it, and then what I want us to do is sort of round one of this is I just want us to go around and sort of share, no specific order, but share some of those items with each other, and then I want to open the floor up where we can actually ask some questions and really maybe if there's some issues going on in some of your groups without any names. We're going to keep it very general, but we can hit topics and try to troubleshoot some of that and fine-tune it. And for Christian, for you guys that are launching, you may have some questions about how you pair people together. I mean, Paul has done this for 3 years or so. I mean, a lot. I mean, he's done it a lot. He's probably got a lot of experience, and some of the other guys in here and girls in here maybe have done it enough that they could be a great sounding board for you as you're launching Kaleo's groups and stuff. And Renewed's group. I know you're in Renewed. I'm sorry, but we've
dark side.
Is everybody good? That's great. Well, who wants to kick us off? Tell me some stuff going well in the groups. I'd love to start on the positive.
Start.
Yeah.
My small group, this past semester and this semester, we have co-leaders, and that's worked really well with just accountability. And if I can't make it 1 week, my co-leader can be there. It's just made things a lot easier. And also with planning, it's not all on you, or if there's some kind of like struggle in the group, or you know, work it out with a co-leader. I've liked it a lot.
And how did you determine a co-leader?
It was kind of a conversation with our women's grow leader, but we just kind of got paired together. There wasn't a whole lot of thought, I think, that went into it. We had a group of girls that stepped up to lead, and we wanted bigger groups this semester because before we had done like 5 or 6 girls and then a couple would drop out, and so the groups got really small. So this past semester we did started with like 10. And so when a couple girls would drop out or not be committed, then it didn't shrink so much, if that makes sense. And so we did co-leaders instead of individual leaders because the groups are bigger.
What's the benefit of having co-leaders? You've mentioned one, right?
Yeah.
The logistics of if you're gone or she's gone or whatever, so it makes it a sort of easier load to carry. But what's another benefit of co-leadership?
Would train a new leader?
Mm-hmm. $1 million answer. What's discipleship all about?
Building up the next set.
Building up the... So what did Jesus invest in?
The next
leaders, right? If you're leading a group, and you're not identifying the next leader, you're ensuring that there's not going to be an opportunity to multiply your group. And we're all here because at some point somebody shared and invested in another person. So what you're doing in your group, whether you know it or not, is facilitating the multiplication of what God is about. And so even though you maybe didn't know that, I would encourage all of y'all, especially Kaleo as y'all are starting and Renewed as y'all start, it's a very, very good practice to have a co-leader. It may take a couple of months to observe people in the group to see who's faithful and committed, who's available, and who's teachable. You know, that you'll hear that all the time in discipleship. Is they call it the FAT principle, and we don't like to say that anymore, but it's faithful, available, and teachable. That Jesus is looking for faithful, available, and teachable men and women to advance his kingdom through them. And so as y'all are leaders of a group, look for faithful people. They're there every time, unless they're, you know, sick or business trip. Available. They're willing to share. They're willing to listen to another. And they're teachable. Like you see them, the group challenges them in an area, and instead of them getting defensive, they come back better from that. We'll write their name down. Go out to coffee with them and just say, man, I just want to tell you, I've loved seeing you grow in these areas. And then talk to your grow leader and say, yeah, hey, I'd love it if Jane was a co-leader. Could we do that? And go for it. We have nothing to lose. You know, it's a great thing. Somebody else, what's going well in your groups or has gone well in groups?
I think something that I don't really have an explanation as of why, but ever since we started grow groups in the Vine, we haven't really had major or minor issues within, like, drama issues or anything in the groups, which I'm thankful for, because I'm not confrontational, but, so, that's something that I'm really not sure why, but it's nice, and it's been well, it's been going really well.
How big are your groups?
They're, 5, 6. One of our groups actually got down to 2, but we're adding more to theirs, but they loved it. It was my roommate and her group, her grow leader was. And they ended up just going and trying different coffee places every week and talking about the book they were reading and just kind of got to explore Houston and talk to each other. So it worked out. But
that feels great, intimacy. We have a small group like that. In fact, Don Mutton would say he would rather a group of 2 than a group of 7. Or 6, even. He thinks 6 is too many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's the research. The Navigators, who since 1940-something have been doing triads, they've done long-term studies on spiritual growth and vitality of groups, and they have found that 3 to 5 is optimal for groups on average. For men, guys, we don't do everything the best, obviously, and this is where we discover this. This is one more data set. That they say 3 to 4 men in a group, any men over that, the group will lose intimacy, accountability. It loses all sorts of the spiritual realities that we desire in a grow group. Ladies can scale that up to 5, but they found that groups that are bigger than 5 of women, they hide out, they don't become as transparent, the accountability is not as powerful in their life, and therefore they do not experience as much life change. Now, I don't like to hear that because I think bigger is better. Like, I'm an extrovert and I like to have more people. It's more fun. There's more energy. But it's hard to argue with their research that they put together, and they've done this on college campuses, adults in churches, and all of that. So I want y'all to pray. We say that a grow group is 3 to 5 men or women. We don't forcefully shove that down as a, you know, edict from Jesus, because I think it's a good suggestion. And so I know that the 10 or 12 feels good because people aren't as committed. Yeah. So we say that we think everyone should be in a grow group, but not everybody's ready for a grow group. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If people aren't ready to commit, I'd rather not lower the bar on a grow group. I'd rather keep the bar high. And it's okay if only 7 people in your class do a grow group. My fear is if we give a watered-down grow group, somebody's not going to experience life change, and we'll inoculate them from a real grow group, and they'll say, well, I've been in a grow group, and that didn't do anything in my life. So C.S. Lewis argued that we actually were inoculating people from the real gospel because we were selling a watered-down Christianity. A pray a prayer, and you know Jesus. And he said we should exalt Christ as Lord and present him as Lord so that everyone that encounters him, their life will be radically changed. We don't want to inoculate people from grow groups by lowering that bar. So as we present them to people, let's be sure that we are presenting. It is a commitment that you are making, and it's a high commitment. And if you're unable to do that right now, it's okay. You're not a bad person. We'll still hang out, intramurals, koinonia. There's lots of stuff you can do and be busy every night of the week if you want to. But for this grow group, that's the expectation. Does that make sense? Do y'all feel like we err on the side of lowering standards on it because we want to get more people in grow groups? Or do you feel like, I don't know, you tell me. No, I just wanted to share, you know, what we've seen and what we're reading and just trying to have best practices.
When I first moved down here, it wasn't like one of the official grow groups, but it was a grow group that some guys were doing during the summer, but it was with like 8 other guys. And I found that very intimidating because I didn't have a great transition down here. And so I was already kind of having a rough go at it. And then to be with like 8 guys, it was, and I come from a very church background, so I knew how groups should run and stuff, but I felt very intimidated. One, because I think the guys were all pretty close with each other, so they all knew each other really well and knew each other's stories. And I was like thrown into this mix, and it was just like, it was very overwhelming. And I'm an extrovert, so it was like, I felt overwhelmed.
Wow.
So I definitely agree with like that number thing. I think, one, if it's smaller numbers, and I think from my experience, if it's people who don't actually know each other that well, so they can actually grow. Because I feel like when you're in a group, if you knew those people well, like, yes, that's good, but at the same time, I just don't think you can grow as much. Like, if you have new people, it's like you're committed to actually growing and getting to know those people. And those friendships then will develop over time, so you will know them, you know, towards the end. But I think at the beginning, if you know each other really well, it's harder for that growth.
What's someone else's thought about that? Because you mentioned two things. One is that the larger group was very, very intimidating, even though you're extroverted. So what's your thought on that? And then also, what's your thought on people that have done a lot of putting groups together, forming groups of people that actually don't know each other? Like, what are y'all's thoughts on that? I mean, I hear that, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. What are some other people's thoughts on that?
That's exactly what me and Holly, my co-grow now, did and tried to do. Any groups that we're both in charge of, like talking to the leaders, if our roommates are in those groups, we try not to be in charge of their grow leaders at the same time, just to keep it all separate. And we're like, these people cannot be in the same group because they're going to overrun it with their own personal conversations of what they've been doing and stuff like that. So I intentionally spread out everyone whenever I first did it, because a lot of us came from 114. So we are kind of sort of knew each other, and then there was a few new people peppered in, so I just spread everyone who was already, the more familiar you were, the further it got away.
Yeah,
and and all our groups have really just bonded together. The only reason we had one quit was because the leader couldn't run it anymore. At that point, something happened. But then they just got placed in other things.
What I loved in my grow group is that the first day we met together, none of us knew each other. Like, really, I didn't even know their names. Like, I recognized their faces from class. And this coming semester, I guess, will be our third. And we just want to stick together. We don't want to grow apart at all. We just want to keep continuing it, and we've grown together, and that was like our foundation of our friendship, instead of like us kind of, oh, well, we were friends here and we were friends here, and like kind of mixing those lives. Like, it all began with grow group in the same way. We're really close because of that.
That's I've seen both sides. I know, especially speaking from a guy's perspective, the bigger the group gets, the easier it is for someone to hide in the shadows, not really share, and not be vulnerable with life, like some of the other guys have been. Something that I think is good is to have at least a core structure of two people within a small group who, say, a leader and one other person who, you know, can at least hold the weight of the group in the beginning, where other guys or girls may not be willing to share quite yet. I didn't, when I started leading my group last year, I guess about this time last year, I didn't know anyone. I mean, I had known one of the guys, Matt, for just a little bit, but I really hadn't. I mean, most of the guys in my group are pretty new to the class, but since then, we've grown incredibly close, and I can count it as the best small group experience I've had in my almost 6 years of being at Summit. So
that's good. That's really good.
I think it gives you an opportunity to build like more authentic relationships when it's like not somebody you've done life with forever. And granted, I've had experience with both. I've been in a small group, one with my roommate, and with like friends that I've been really close with. And there's been some times like we would walk through some really like tough stuff together, and that's been beautiful. But at the same time, I see a lot more vulnerability and growth in meeting with the new people in my group. And then Monica and I hardly knew each other, and we were in a girl group together, and now we're really close. And so I think that aspect of like, oh, we're all coming to one grow in the Lord, but like we're also getting to know each other. And I personally had girls in my group that were like new to class and didn't have a lot of community, and now like that's who we're hanging out with. That's like, oh, what are you doing Friday night? You want to come cook dinner? Like, and we're building more authentic friendships and like deeper relationships through that, and I think it's really cool to see. So
that's good. Anyone what I over found, here that, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I was just going to chime in. What I found, with especially with the guys' group, as a grow leader, I try to meet with grow groups to kind of understand what's going on. Like, for example, well, I don't really meet too much with Paul because we're on the same grow group, so we kind of know what's going on. But with other grow, with other small groups that are out there, and I try to meet with the leaders at least twice every season or so, and just to ask them, like, you know, general questions, like, so how are your groups doing? Like, how many did you notice that somebody's starting to, you know, dive down in terms of commitment? And I think one thing that I kind of took from one of these other midnight classes last year was to ask, you know, how many times have you heard everybody on your group actually speak? And not just speak in terms of, you know, hi and how are you and so on, but genuinely give an opinion over something, over the book. And because really what I found, at least for the first time, I don't know, Paul, if you remember, you know, it was a little bit difficult to move away from surface level conversations when we first start, even when it was, what, four or five guys, you know. It was really difficult to go beyond, well, my work today was pretty tough, you know, or just something like that, to more like, this is what's going on in my life and so on. And so just having, I mean, Paul was really great as a leader and really taught me, like, you know, how to be, what to look for in a group leader, that I was able to kind of relay that message to other grow groups. Sort of has that as a gauge of how well they're doing, how well the group was going. So,
yeah, I think something maybe Paul mentioned is key, that, you know, if you have your grow group leader and you have somebody else, whether it's the next grow group leader coming up, but someone that's got the grow group leader's back, where they can, you know, the grow group leader can kind of try to draw people out, but it's good to have somebody else who's, you know, here's my opinion, you know, what do you think? Mm-hmm. Somebody else across the table, you know, right. And just kind of, you know, build an environment where, you know, it's okay to share your opinion, and we want to hear, you know, what you have to say, and it makes it, you know, less awkward.
And I think one, and I just want to add one great thing that Paul did was that he was the first one to share. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever he wants, you know, that's, you know, when you're putting yourself as to be the one vulnerable first, that kind of opens the gate for everybody else. So.
I've noticed that a lot, mm-hmm. and especially with the girls that I do, high school girls. If they're mm-hmm. quiet and not wanting to get into that vulnerable spot, if you get vulnerable for first, a lot of them don't realize. Like, you see a lot of people and think, oh, like, Holly's got it together. Like, she's not going to...
But we know she does.
But she's not going to be able to, like, relate to me about anything. And so I hear that from my girls a lot. Like, I didn't know that you would be able to relate to me until you told me your story. Yeah. So a lot of the times they don't want to tell their story until they realize that you're not just going to be like, oh, okay, well, maybe you should fix that and move on. But just, yeah.
Three things I think that are vital in the growth and sustainability of a small group. One is the one y'all mentioned, leading in vulnerability as the leader. That's absolutely pivotal. It kind of, the barrier to entry and the struggle and awkwardness that you might feel in the beginning of a small group is completely washed away. And then serving together is huge. And not only that, but serving together maybe with another small group, either guys or girls, it doesn't matter. That's super valuable. And also, as functionality goes, taking responsibility as the leader and facilitating, but not necessarily controlling the direction, because sometimes, you know, you never know how a given night is going to go during the week. You know, guys and girls struggle with things throughout the week, with work and with, you know, whatever happened in their lives. And so just having a certain amount of flexibility is really key.
This is really good. I wrote those down. I love that. I'm going to quote you next time.
My friend Paul.
That's good.
Another thing that I find key in grow groups every once in a while, too, is having to call. I mean, I hate confrontation, but I understand the importance of saying, hey, I haven't seen you here for a long time. What's going on?
Yeah.
Or in one grow group, we had a girl that was coming, like, every other week, or it was a quick text right before we would all sit down and eat together that, like, I can't make it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I want you to be respectful of the time, and I want you to be committed, and if now's not the time for that, then that's okay. And then kind of, like, giving them permission, like, it's okay for you not to be a part of this if it isn't the right time in your life. And if that needs to happen later, that's fine. But then when you have those conversations, like, when I called her out on that, like, we have a sweet friendship today where
yeah.
we're, like, still, like, checking up on life and living life together, but it's not that she's a part of the grow group, that we were living life together at that point in time.
Yeah.
So as much as sometimes
awesome.
You hate those confrontations, like, that's really essential for your group to be able to grow and not always wondering, well, where is that lost person, or should we be praying for them this week because we don't know if they're really a part of us or not.
Yeah.
And so those are kind of hard points, but good points that can spur on growth as you continue to live together that semester.
Yeah, but your tone, I mean, hearing you
yeah.
share that, your tone is a gracious tone.
Right, yeah. It's
if you have
not
an adversary, like if you have, I'm a little torqued that you haven't been here, or, hey, where were you? You know, like,
yeah.
your tone was Christ-like toward that person. And so as leaders, you know, we say that there are four elements that are sort of the non-negotiables in a grow group. And the very first one is that it's grace-centered. It's grace-centered. Number two is it's committed. Number three, it's confidential. And number four, it's progressively transparent.
Say that again.
That's in 101, but I will say it again to you. I say it again to you, and I'm glad you're here, and that was very non-gracious of me. So I'm going to do the walk of shame. Okay, walk of shame.
Man.
Forgive me, Holly. Okay, it's grace-centered.
Okay. Got it.
Committed,
okay.
Which means barring business trip, tragedy in family, or personal illness, you are there. And if you're not there, that's not all right. We have a high standard. We need you there because it's a different group when not everyone's there. And we owe it to each other to give our best each and every day and each and every week. Number three is confidential. That what's said in group stays in group, except for in guys and girls that have been in 101. What are the two exceptions?
Yeah. to break the law?
No.
Harm to you or
self-harm
or harm to others.
Or harm to others. So we
and
do
then there's
that.
A referral to counseling.
Right. And so, Holly, we say that because of situations like Columbine and everything else. There are always hints, and we are not naive enough to believe in our culture anymore that a person that is spewing threats or is unstable in that area, we need to take it seriously, and the most loving thing we could do for the greatest number of people is to deal with those things appropriately, which may be to call the minister, who then by federal law probably has to call the security, you know, have to call the police or call CPS if it's a married young adult group and someone's battering their wife, then they need to call a domestic violence situation. Like there are things by law that I have to do, and so when people want to share with me, I always tell them, they'll say, hey, I need to say something to you in confidence, and I'm like, well, I need you to know that if you're at harm of self or others, it will not be confidential by law. It's going to go beyond me. But I would hope that you would trust me enough to know that God may use that to set you free from whatever it is that's tearing your life up. And so confidential is number three, and then number four is progressive transparency. And that means that you, yeah, and that means that you will progressively over time, since you know that people are for you, not against you, because there's grace, and you know that they're committed both to you and to the group, you know that it's going to be confidential, you will begin to share more of your real heart with each other and more of your real struggle with each other, because I'm just like you, Paul, is I've got sort of three layers of sharing I can do. I've always got something in my pocket if someone said, you know, hey, how's it going? Well, it's okay, you know, and right now my go-to is that my dad passed away a month ago, okay? So that, tragic, yes, it was tragic. Am I sad about it? Yes, I'm sad about it. But most people would be sad about their father passing away. That's not an unusual thing. That's a normal thing. So it's a safe thing to share with anybody in my life. But then there's a layer beneath that that is more specifically appropriate in my life, dealing with thought life, dealing with insecurities. And then to be real honest, there's a layer beneath that that a handful of people know, the deep, dark aspects of my heart, of what's really tormenting me or what's really where the enemy is really fighting in my heart. And so I think in our groups that we can leave the group up on that first level all day long, and most guys would be very comfortable there. Because we're posers. We want to look like we have it all together. We're afraid that if we don't have it all together, that we're not really a man. Ladies, you're going to feel the same pressure in your own way. And so there is a great book. I'm going to recommend it to all of you. It's called Posers, Fakers, and Wannabes. That's written by Brennan Manning, BrennanManning.
Gotta read the Ragamuffin Gospel if you haven't read it. Just gonna throw that in there.
Posers, Fakers, and Wannabes. It is a updated version of Abba's Child, and I'll give you the core takeaway. The core takeaway is that the most true thing about you and the most true thing about anyone you'll ever meet is that God loves them. No matter what you've done, no matter what you believe, no matter what you've said. And that changes the need for us to then present ourselves to other people to try to find value, meaning, and significance. Does that make sense? But it's a great book. Highly recommend it. If y'all are feeling like you have a group that is having trouble getting to any form of, you know, authentic expression, then it's probably because they're a little bit afraid of judgment and they're a little bit afraid of being real with God. And I think part of our grow group strategy and part of our prayer for, you know, at least Sherry and I, is that God will use these groups to help set people free to experience more of God and less of fear and less of, you know, I hope everybody likes me in the group. Well, you know, that's great. But somebody else, I know it's a little unstructured, but I'm hoping this is helpful for y'all. What would be helpful for y'all to hear? Because we've got, at this point, we've got 7 minutes. So if y'all were to say, we have 7 minutes before the planet blows up, but we can't call our loved ones, we can't visit anyone, all we can do is finish this conversation about grow groups. Oh no! What would be something that would be very, very helpful that you could walk away with from here, Fanuel?
So
Fanuel. Yeah.
Yes. So I know for last year I was in the same boat where I had no idea who anyone was in my small group. Kind of just launched into it, and a lot of really great friendships came out of it. I know that there's kind of a study that was kind of required, like you're going to study this book or you're going to study XYZ or go to some mid-link classes. But for the first 3 months, we didn't do that just because we didn't know each other and didn't know the level of commitment. Would you suggest to go ahead and start some sort of study, or is there still kind of the getting to know you kind of phase where it's okay to just build that consistency and build the relationship and then dive into a study?
Yeah, so I gave you the four non-negotiables, you know, grace, commitment, confidentiality, and transparency. There are five elements that we want to put into that culture. So that's a culture, we want to put things into it that will grow. And the first one of those is connection.
Right.
People don't care what you know till they know that you care. It's going to be very hard for people to get to accountability if they don't even know you. That's unrealistic. And so what I would suggest to you is I think the first 4 to 6 weeks, we call them foundational weeks. And within those first 4 to 6 weeks, great time to hear each other's testimonies, eat meals, go and do things you would enjoy, get to know each other as people. The testimony is part of that. Hear each other's testimonies. And you're listening for where is God at work in their life and where has the enemy sought to destroy their life. Because those two data sets will help you understand the events that come up over the next year as you meet with them and they share. You'll recognize, oh, you dealt with that 5 years ago. You had a bad relationship. Or, you know, finances have always been a struggle for this person. Hey, have you ever thought about going through Financial Peace University? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it seems like debt has been this ongoing theme for the last 5 or 6 years. If we don't know their story, we don't know that, so we're just, you know, we're blind. But the Holy Spirit plus information equals really helpful input into people's life. And so that would be my recommendation. It's okay to do that. I think if you go too long without a study, right. I would look in that 4 to 6 week window. And then introducing, and if you haven't been in 101, we really stress that we don't, it's not a study. A grow group is not a study. It's how we relate to the 3 or 4 people in the group. And the study is just a tool to help you. But the tendency, at least in men's groups, is we can socialize politics, sports, entertainment, and never get to anything spiritual. Mm-hmm. Until the last 5 minutes, and hey, oh, write down your prayer request, pass it to the guy on your right, and then, you know, that's not a grow group. But also, if we finally open up the Bible or we open up a study, we will spend 90% of our time debating the study. What's your take on chapter one? Well, I think this is a bad idea, and you know, and we'll never get to what's really going on in our life and our heart. And that's not a grow group either. One's a talking group and one's a study group, but a grow group allows for all of the above along with prayer and accountability. So if you don't get to know each other, you're probably not going to have a very good grow group. And so the fact that you were, you know, intuitive enough to say, hey, that's 4 to 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, we're just getting to know each other, that's completely appropriate for a new group of people that have never known each other. And I think that's great.
We did do a study eventually.
No, I see that you shared at level 3. I understand. I've already judged you. No, it's perfect. No, I didn't think you did.
Yeah, no, but you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I know for like new girl groups, a study that's really good at like building conversations, at least, is the Propel Women's Study that Christine Kane, the Propel Women Leadership thing. I know Holly's Girl Group did it too, as well as ours, and it's like it's just a DVD. Watch a bunch of women of God talking about a certain subject and how it's affected. It's them sharing their lives, and then that in turn has questions in a book that we then share our lives with each other and how different points hit us. And it really facilitated the opening up so much without necessarily having to have the leader
come
straight out with like. their most deepest things. It like kind of wedged it in. And it's also for busy grow groups. Like a lot of us are busy that there's no prep to it. There's nothing the leader really has to do. None of the girls have to really do anything during the week except for pray. And you just go in and pop in and listen to Christine Kane and talk about it. And it's really, really great. And it really has moved a lot of us through different places. Like, different things hit for different girls each week. It's really great. Sorry, guys, I don't know of anything like that for y'all. But
no, Jason Bourne, Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy. I mean, that we used that in my room. We thoroughly enjoyed it. We talked about what Jason Bourne meant to us. I'm just totally kidding. One thing that has been good in some groups I've done have been where we have gone through a book of the Bible, but instead of going verse by verse, commentary, we would read a chapter in the week, and we would read the same chapter every day of the week, and we would have a journal, and we would write down the verses that really prompted us, and we would think about action items out of that. We would then share that with the group when we got together. It was more of a discovery time of, well, hey, what did you get? Because it was one chapter for a whole week, if you missed it 3 or 4 days in the week, you still read it 3 or 4 times. And so you brought something to the group. And then the follow-up question is, if God shared that with you, then what are you going to do with that? And sometimes you help someone discover what they can do with that because you're like, well, hey, couldn't you apply that in that situation at work? Well, yeah, maybe that's why God put that on my heart. You may, as a group, say, hey, let's memorize that verse together. I think all of us wrote that down. I know we're going to have to wrap up, right? Have we already given the card away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Who got that? Yeah, excellent. We have a thing called Right Now Media, and I mentioned this in the 101 training today. I didn't mention it in 201, but I'll mention it again. There are hundreds and hundreds of free video studies for men, women, and all of the above. And it's free. Any subject is searchable by teacher, topic, you name it, it's there. Our church has a membership, so we pay a large sum of money every year for an unlimited license usage. So if you all would like access to that, if your girls email Sherry from the email that you want to get the account sent to, and guys email me, and in the subject line put, please send me Right Now Media, and I'll take your email, cut and paste it into an invite, and you'll get that, and then just accept it. And then what you can do is you can set up a playlist, really, almost like a Netflix thing of, these are the ones I want to watch. You can use it in your small groups, and it can be a very helpful time saver for you. There's a lot of great resources on it. So, I mean, we just want to be a resource for y'all. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't heard this, you're the frontline ministers of the church. Mm-hmm. Before Pastor Greg ever knows that there's a crisis in one of the ladies' lives or one of the men's lives, you'll know it in your groups. Because of that, you're the minister. Holy Spirit's in you as much as in Pastor Greg or me. And so what you do really, really matters. And if we have grow groups that are gracious, that are committed, that are confidential and transparent, where study can happen, accountability can happen, prayer can happen, God will change lives. And the enemy loses. He's already lost. But we want to live out of that victory spot. And we don't always live out of that victory spot. And so we love y'all. And this is the largest group we've ever had at 301. You know, normally we have about 10 people. And I think, I don't know how many we have here. So we enjoy it because I take notes and I hear stuff, and it helps me understand where maybe we're missing on the training and where it's going well. Well, there is good, like, dessert stuff sitting downstairs. There's cinnamon rolls. And I realize that most people come to Midnight Madness for cinnamon rolls. Especially guys with beards, because they never get food in the beard at all. And cinnamon rolls have nothing to get in that beard.
No, no, I...